Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, priestesses.
From us to you.
From me and mine.
Do you remember those bears that were like, me to you bears?
Oh my God, yeah.
That's the ultimate of what I don't want on Valentine's.
The Valentine's aesthetic, yeah.
Just remember those.
That's not good.
They're bad.
It's a real 2004.
They're like
flashback.
Ugly.
Yeah, it's not good.
So, your two fave priestesses are back.
Back and better than ever to discuss all things V-Day.
So, what are you doing this Valentine's Day?
I actually have no idea. What are you doing this Valentine's Day?
I have no idea. Listening to this podcast?
Yeah, me too.
Can't wait. Can't wait to reminisce something that hasn't even happened.
What are your thoughts on Valentine's Day?
Kind of mixed. Yeah. I think at school, people would say things like, I remember there was one girl who was kind of in my friendship group.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, if you're listening.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if she'd be listening. But she would say something like, I hate Valentine's Day. It's commercialist bullshit. And fine, it is.
Yeah.
But then the second she got a boyfriend, she was like, Valentine's Day.
I love
and
it.
And that is such a funny thing because it is commercialist, consumerist bullshit.
Mm.
But so is Christmas. So is any fucking event you go to. So is your birthday.
Yeah.
So is Easter. So is
fucking
Halloween.
So is any like westernized holiday.
And don't you come for Halloween, bitch.
No, literally. But I love that that is so like, well, I'm rejecting Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Unless I've been picked. When I've been chosen, then I love it.
Oh, it's the best. Then it's
me. Because otherwise it's humiliating to be on your own.
So it's bullshit. Yeah. Until the one day that,
just
oh God,
face.
He wants me.
I love it.
It could never be me.
So what are your thoughts?
Oh yeah, that was someone else's.
So that's her thoughts.
So do you want to know everyone else I know's thoughts? So what are my thoughts? Fine. It's a fine day. I don't overthink it. I have, here's someone else's opinion that I'm going to come in with.
Yeah.
My view is very much shaped by indifference about Valentine's Day.
Okay.
So another one of my friends has kind of an anxiety about Valentine's Day. So I met my friend, not that recently, like a few years ago.
You met up with her?
Yeah. And it was kind of December. And she was like, I am so stressed for February. And I was like, oh, why? What's happening in February? Like, what's going on for you then? She's like, Valentine's Day. And I was like,
oh my God.
Oh, like, don't worry about it. Just don't worry.
Well, I've got the cure for you. Just don't worry about
it. It's like, what? I didn't know people put any emphasis on it.
Wow.
So,
she's stressed. Well, it's, what day is it today? The 3rd of February. She's getting stressed out.
Yeah.
Maybe you should give her a call. Check in on her.
She's like warming up.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, she's locking herself down for the month.
Well, I bet you know, the male equivalent of her is not stressed at all.
No, but I don't think many...
He's like, February, huh? I thought it was December. Like,
well,
he just
that's kind of what
know.
I was. I was like, what do you mean? So there's definitely an anxiety about it that exists.
There's almost like, okay, there's definitely a real anxiety about it that exists, but then there's also the, and that's kind of the undercurrent. And then what we show on the surface is that thing of like, Galentine's Day.
I was going to say Galentine's
like,
Day.
And we make a big joke about it, but it's like some people are actually joking and then some people are like stressing.
They need their friends.
Yeah. Like it's kind of that performing empowerment or whatever. It's like you're performing that you're not fast.
Gal squad.
Yeah. But you're actually like, you're going to be crying. You're going to be crying on your own.
If you're crying about Valentine's Day, guys, we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Go back to episode 1.
Yeah.
We've got work to do. Don't worry. We're going to do many episodes on relationships. This is kind of touching the surface. surface.
Yeah, this is a bit of fun.
This isn't even scratching the surface of relationships, love. This is just something for you to listen to on Valentine's Day, even after Valentine's Day. Whilst you cry.
This is your crying soundtrack, Valentine's Day 2020.
So what are your thoughts on Valentine's Day?
Well, they're pretty much the same as yours.
Indifferent.
Yeah, indifferent. Like, I can give it or take it. I love the idea. If I wanted to be really romantic, like, I would love that idea of, like, cute, like, romance, love. Like, I love that. That's my favourite thing in the world.
I'm in love with love.
Yeah, I'm in love with love.
Have you seen the second season? Because her name is Love. And he always says, I love you. Love. And it's all, and they develop a new thing where they say, like, I wolf you.
Yes. Awful. Oh,
I couldn't stop being sick. It's horrendous. It's bad,
but I love that girl, Love.
Do you?
I way prefer her to Beck.
Oh, I'm team Beck.
Beck's a bit of a bore. I love when she was like, Beck was basic and she didn't deserve you or whatever. It's like, to be honest, Love is way cooler.
Look, I didn't like Beck at the time, but I miss the vibe. LA, fuck off. Bring me back to dingy New York in your bookshop.
Yeah, that's a cool vibe, but I think Love's vibe is way cool.
A chef.
Yeah, but it's not about a chef. It's like just her look. I just think she's so stunning.
She is. Do you know what? I hated Beck styling. I remember saying to you, I fucking hate whoever styled Beck.
What did you say that she wore?
I said, like, a check little... shirt and a pashmina scarf.
It's that that gets me. It's the scarfing. It's like too specific.
A pashmina scarf.
Yeah.
It's why have you styled her in that?
Yeah, it's not good.
And she's like...
Well, and I'm supposed to believe that she's in New York looking like that.
And she's not in 2003.
Yeah, it's
I
not
I can't
quite.
Buy it. And she tweeted that thing. Oh my God,
about
what was
mac
it?
And cheese.
It's like, now mac and cheese. And it's like, oh God, why did you do that? Beck.
Because she's a loser.
So I get that Love is a step up for Joe Goldberg.
But he's still undeserving.
I do kind of love him.
Well, maybe we should discuss a bit of you in this.
Well, I'm happy to do it now.
Because I think that talks about love, in quote marks, in a really interesting way. Yeah. I think it's a really interesting way of, like, unpacking the way that men see women as well.
Romanticising kind of obsession.
Oh, it's insane.
And it's like, his love in that show is nothing to do with the girls. It's all about himself. Needing to put himself into another person. But for some reason... Thing is, that show's interesting because you're rooting for a psychopath, but you also want him to get caught, but every time he's on the verge of getting caught, you're like, fuck Joe, run. Get
Joe,
out of that
gonna
cage
get you.
This is your cage, run.
It's bad.
It's tricky.
It is tricky.
Well, I will put my hands up and say I had a crush on him about a week ago.
You did.
I'm getting over the crush because I'm watching new shows now. But I did have a crush on Will Bettelheim, whatever his
but
name
I
was
think that's
second.
Kind of the point.
No, I know, but I put a story on High Priestess.
Yeah, you guys might have seen it.
And I did a story and I was like, guys, so what are your thoughts on Joe?
And everyone was like, you're disgusting. You shouldn't like him.
Yeah.
That's gross.
I got messages. It was 98% what the fuck. Because I did a poll that was like, he's hot or what the fuck. And it was like 98% what the fuck. And I got messages saying,
you're fucked
he's
up
disgusting.
You like
who the fuck? And I was thinking, yeah, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. But I just wanted to know. Just wanted to clarify.
There's definitely, he's got like a, he's, God, that guy, Penn Bladgley or whatever his name
Penn
is.
Penn Bladgley. Yeah. He's my main YouTube search at the moment.
And he's doing better than ever.
He's hot.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Everyone's like dying over him now. Whereas when he was bloody Dan, in
I never watched
Girl,
that.
Yeah,
I wish
shouldn't.
I think I would have loved him.
You wouldn't have.
He aesthetically is very good, though.
Oh, there's just... Well, I think he's interesting, actually, as a person, because he kind of gives me this fake deep kind of vibe.
Yeah, but that's kind of it. I love
that. That is your thing.
Fake deep.
I hate
deep.
To call people out, but that is kind of your thing, the fake deep.
Well, I kind of think it's real deep, and I get a bit confused.
A bit lost. Yeah.
My relationship history will show that I love some fake deep.
Yeah, that's interesting. But well, remember I said that your type is someone with dark hair who's on the peripheries of society.
And that sums it up.
And I really did sum it up.
Oh, it's Jon Snow. Jon Snow at the wall, not
when he's a king.
Not the king of the north.
Whereas I'm all over the king thing.
Post-death Jon Snow is you.
That's his prime.
Pre-death Jon. That's me. I love that. Him with Ygritte. I mean, I've spoken about my my distaste for Ygritte, who I love, but I'm a bit sick of the sight of her by the end.
Can't wait to see the back of her.
Yeah, I can't wait for that death. I actually was crying my eyes out. But I just get a bit jealous of Ygritte at times.
I think it is interesting, actually, because it's like, why is that your type?
What, the peripheries?
Yeah, because it is kind of someone that is just unreachable.
Yeah, I completely agree. They
because
kind of
for you,
off.
It's all about the fantasy. In that it's all about the fantasy and, like, the idea of that person rather than, like, the reality of the shitty kind of guy that they actually are.
I think that's so true because there was this thing that was, like, the best way to get over someone is to get to know them. And that's so it. True. As soon as I know you, as soon as you're telling me your life and things like that, and the fantasy's a bit dead and the image that I've built up is cancelled, I'm over it. I'm bored.
When I see you kind of like, eating. In the supermarket.
No.
Or like kind of, you're like, you need to like book your driving.
You're like a bit stressed because you're going to miss your bus and it's
that's a bad one. Yeah, that's bad.
It's bad. It's instantly unhot.
Yeah, it's not good.
But I also think I do love the reality at times, but I'm a sucker for the fantasy.
It's all about the fantasy.
There's a thing, I did Myers-Briggs the other day.
Oh,
again, I've done it many times. I've done it many times throughout my life. But I love personality tests. And I did Myers-Briggs again, and I got INFP once again for the millionth time in my life.
So that's confirmed. It's theory confirmed.
Yeah, the description was like, in romance, you live for the fantasy. And I was like, nailed it.
You're onto something.
You nailed it.
It's true, because you, and also you speak openly in your life about fantasizing.
Mm.
Sorry, I don't know if you wanted to announce that on the podcast.
Well, I said,
but we're doing it now.
Me
apparently.
And my friend have this one rule. We actually have two rules. One, the first rule, I developed these, I'm not gonna, say.
Me and my friend.
No, but I do have this joke with my friend. But we have two rules that we live our lives by. I mean, I'm open to creating more, but these are two of my main pillars. Number one is, don't solve your problems at night. I can't stand by that more. Number two is, don't fantasize about someone you know.
Yeah.
And I really need to work on that.
Yeah, the second one's not going well. But also, you put something on Hiya Story that was like, you should see the potential in yourself that you're seeing in others.
Yes, and that's fucking it.
Yeah.
The thing that you're seeing in that person is the thing that you think you're lacking.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah, we're very quick to think that the other person is so perfect. Or like the first date thing of just be yourself, just impress them, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, they need to impress you as well.
I actually made a rule about this because I realised that on dates with guys, or when I'm kind of with guys... walking around town with these guys, I would talk quite a lot about ghosts.
Yeah.
And I made a rule for myself. Another rule. Don't talk about ghosts on the first to third date. Like, just don't do it. Just hold yourself back from ghost talk. Don't be weird and don't do it. And I spoke to my friend about this and I was like, okay, I've made another rule. I'm not talking about ghosts with guys. And she was like, wait, but you do talk about
this
ghosts.
This was me.
No,
I said that. I said that to you.
God, I've been telling a lot of people.
I said, that's part of your personality. Why would you not be you?
Because it's like, oh, well, actually, if they don't like ghosts, I don't like them.
Well, yeah. It was like, if they don't want to tolerate that.
Tolerate.
But do you know, if they can't.
Oh, if they can't have
it. Obviously a bad match. So let's leave
it. Oh, it's never going to work.
Yeah.
They come up on the hour. I don't know where that was going.
No, but it's true. Why do we go into dates so ready to conceal the truest parts of ourselves?
It's completely true.
It's really interesting, isn't it?
Because it's like, actually, talk about exactly what you want to talk about.
Look how you want to look.
Yeah. If they can, if they're into it, which chances are they are, good news. It's better that than you fake it and they like.
If they're not interested, why would you be interested in someone who's not interested? Do you know what I mean? If they're not interested in who you are, okay, bye. There's so many more people in the world.
Well, I think it takes a lot of people to. It took me a minute to get to that.
Yeah, it does.
That's definitely like, oh, if they don't like me, that's a difficult place to get to. I think it takes people a lot of time to get to the place of, I'll be myself, and if they don't like me, great, they weren't for me. It's like, wait, but they didn't like me.
Yeah.
It's like, they didn't not like the illusion.
Them rejecting you, it's so true. Them rejecting you isn't necessarily a rejection. It
exactly.
can be you rejecting them as well, or you making your own decision or your own perception of them.
Or so much of it is context, because when I have been the rejecter rather than the rejectee, I have found when I'm rejecting someone that it is so much more about just like my context, what's going on with me. They're just not really matching up with my lifestyle that minute, so they're gone. But when you're the rejectee, you think it was all about me, they just didn't like me, I'm not good enough, blah,
when
blah,
you're
blah.
The rejectee, you kind of expect everyone to like, for you to be worth everyone making adjustments for.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, oh, they've got a lot going on, but I thought I was good enough for them to, you know, figure that out.
Yeah, obviously they just don't like me that
they don't
much.
Like me enough.
Yeah, and it's like, no, they do, it's
we've
just
all
not
got
fitting.
Our own lives.
It's so complex, that dating thing.
Yeah, that dating thing.
That, no, but that almost, I was talking to some other ones of my friends.
Some other ones
that I've got going on.
Yeah.
I've got my fingers in a few friendship pies. But they were saying, isn't it funny when you're in that sort of breaking up stage, or you've had a bit of a thing with someone and then you get that long text, that like moment, which is just the trope of a relationship going a bit sideways.
That kind of heart sinking moment.
Yeah. And one of my friends has got this, two of my friends actually have just had this like long text situation that we all know. And they were saying, why at the end of a thing or a relationship does it go so formal?
Yeah.
You suddenly start saying, in regard to the, or I've been doing a lot of thinking. It's like, you've never once, or let you say their name a lot. Yeah. You're like, okay, John, I'm trying, John.
Yeah, Snow. Suddenly you're trying to explain them yourself.
Yeah.
You need to justify.
But why is it, why the formality?
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Like, it just becomes...
Well, because there's kind of no casual way to say, I'm not interested in you. Because it feels like such a huge blow. It's almost like we don't really have the vocab to very casually and informally let someone down. That's almost a bit rude. To just be like, horrendous. Yeah, I'm not, I don't actually really like you that much, bye.
Well, there was my friend in, it was in year six, but we always joke and say that she was broken up with on a walkie-talkie.
Oh.
Which is... That's the opposite of formal. That's as casual as can be, and that's pretty bad.
Yeah, that is bad.
It was in year six. Oh, no, it was in year seven. We were a whole year old. We're in secondary school. We're
but
mature.
Then is there a good way to ever be rejected? Like, what's the ideal? Like, do you know what I mean? Are we ever going to be happy with the way that we've been rejected?
Let's think.
Also, it's like, if you feel like you've been rejected somehow, you will find the evidence to believe that in any way. Like,
yes.
They could have set it up so perfectly that you could in no way be insulted, in no way be sad about it. But ultimately, if you're feeling rejected, you will find
that. A good way to be rejected.
I don't really know if there are, I don't know if you can.
I've never done it or have had that happen to me in a good way.
No.
I think the
only way that you can be rejected is if you've already rejected them and it's very much like you're both very much over it, like you want to see the back of
it's
each other.
It's kind of not a rejection then.
Exactly, yeah.
A rejection, the ones that kill are the ones where you're still wanting it.
Yeah, that's
and that's bad.
That is bad, yeah, that's bad.
It's like bringing tears to my eyes. That one's bad, but I don't think it almost still, if it's still rooted in self-esteem issues, then it's still going to sting whether you've rejected them in your mind or not, because they don't want what you have.
Well, why is it so much like an embarrassing thing?
Because it is. It's mortifying.
Mm.
I don't like everything you have to offer.
Oh. How
especially did that make you feel?
Like, yeah, and it's like, we've had sex.
Yeah.
That's bad.
That's bad.
That's bad because it's like, you're supposed to be in love with me by now. Like, you're supposed to be obsessed with me. You've had sex with me. Like,
yeah, we've been to dinner. Oh, like, that's crazy.
Oh, it is bad.
It's bad. It's like, oh no, we went to the cinema. We've been texting every day.
Yeah.
And you go, done with that, actually. That's a bad feeling.
It's also like, how long have you been thinking that? It's a bit embarrassing.
Well, that's the one that my friend has had recently. They said, I've been thinking this for a few months now.
Oh.
But
that's bad.
It's like, don't add the time frame.
Yeah, it's honestly like, what is it, like twist the knife?
Or yeah,
just
honestly,
an extra little dig.
It's like, I've been thinking this for a while.
I've been thinking this for a few months. You're also really ugly.
Yeah, I actually just don't really like you.
I actually just think you're the worst.
You're dumb.
Yeah. It's like, were you trying to be nice even a bit?
Yeah, literally, it's horrendous. But I've also, on the other end, as being the rejecter, I've done it in brutal ways before.
Oh, well, sometimes you kind of have to.
I've said to someone that I've been talking to for a while, oh, I'm seeing someone else now.
God, were you?
No, complete lie.
Just quite
I just needed to get them out of my life.
Yeah.
I
think it's different for a girl trying to get a guy out of their life.
I know, but it's still bad because it's like, wait, all the time we were talking, you're now with someone else. It's like, God, that's like actually a bit brutal. I know it's completely different with a guy. They kind of need a reason.
I had a guy, so I had ended things with this guy.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know who it is.
And I remember, and I'd fully said, I just need some space. I need to not hear your voice for a bit. Like, we just need to be separate.
Yeah.
And I remember getting out of the shower and getting a text saying, look outside your window.
Run. Da-da-da. Run.
Honestly.
Yeah, that's bad.
And I literally said, you have to walk, you need to go.
You're going to kill me. Like,
you need to go. And he was like, what, you're not going to come out and speak to me? I was like, you need to leave. He's like, but I've just walked for like an hour to come to yours. I'm like, no, we'll turn back around.
That was your first mistake. Why did you walk an hour?
When I asked for space and now suddenly you're about 5 meters away from me.
You're in my home.
Good grief. Absolutely not. No, I...
Good grief.
Honestly, good grief, you think you're coming
hell's
in.
Hell's bells. No.
Honestly.
There's no way. That's weird.
And I'm kind of looking out my window with my, like, turban towel, like, no, you need to scram. Get out of here.
Yeah, honestly. Skedaddle.
And that's the worst.
That's bad.
That's how I told you. I said to you, please, 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 if you've got any sense, if any part of you ever loved me...
If you've got one brain cell in there,
please leave me alone.
Yeah.
And what did you do? You took that as an invitation around my house.
So I thought I was coming for dinner.
It's like, no, there's mascara all down my face. Like, I've just come out of the shower.
That is bad. That is really bad.
And I was going to say, well, if I turned up at someone's house and they said, you need to walk home, I'd be gutted. But then also, I wouldn't fucking turn up at someone's house.
I think this is the thing with guys and rejection and girls and rejection. Mm-hmm. Guys have more goes. Guys almost hit the bat more times. Yeah. They're throwing out tries. Hey, you look good. Hey. Talking to all these girls in a bar, like, you might just try it down the street. Catcalling, that's an attempt. I would say girls have a tendency to be more reserved with their, like, goes.
Yeah, you've only got so many eggs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I only got so many eggs. I'm not throwing around my sperm like any old guy.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Kind of like, okay, I like this guy. I've kind of liked him for 2 months. Yeah. Okay, I might give him a hint that I like him rather than, oh, I'll just ask them.
Well, I might just stare at him all night and wait until we catch eyes. Oh, no, he didn't say anything to me. Oops, I'll try again the next time I see him in 2 months when we might happen to be in the same bar.
So I think guys are more accustomed to rejection and it stings more for a girl because it's like you've given your go. You've given your go now.
That's your shot.
And if it doesn't, guys take more shots.
Guys definitely take more shots, and also I feel like we just expect the guys to take shots as well, so because it's more expected for them to do that, it's more normalized as a behavior for a guy to just go out and shoot his shot, whereas for a girl it's not normalized to ask someone out, be the first one to approach someone, propose marriage, like we're not encouraged to make the first move. So if you do, it's like just by making the first move you've already gone against the grain and put yourself out there. If that's then rejected, it already feels like a double hit because you've not just been rejected, but it's also like you've challenged the whole way that society functions.
You've also challenged the entire patriarchy at the same time.
And it's been thrown back in your face.
Yeah, and turns out the patriarchy is thriving.
Was not ready.
wasn't ready for you.
Wasn't ready for you before your time.
How would you make a first move then?
Well, I always think, I don't really know because it's difficult because I can't. So I've been my boyfriend for a long time now, years.
About 10 years.
Yeah, about 8 years. And I'm only 23.
Time. So she's actually ignored all her advice.
Well, it's true because also it's like, well, when I would have been dating, the landscape was very different. Like,
I thought you were going to say the Lannisters. That's how much they're in my head.
That's how much we're obsessed.
Yeah.
But when I was single, it was like 2011 and I was like 14.
You were a child.
Yeah.
No one was dating.
Yeah, so I haven't dated in 2020 as an adult. I don't...
Well, you haven't dated.
I haven't.
What are the dates that you go on as a 14-year-old?
Exactly.
Down to...
exactly.
Sort of cost cutters.
But I also think...
What do you do?
Yeah, fully. Yeah, you're just going on
Silly
a little
world.
Walk.
What are you doing? Although I would love to go to a little cinema. I love Silly World. I'm not trying to go to Silly World. I just took the brand name. Now it's sponsored by Cineworld.
Love that. But I do think it's given me quite a sharp perception. I think because our relationship is healthy, I'm able to look at like the dating landscape for like what it is.
Yeah, I love that.
And
whereas when you're in it,
it's very hard.
It's a mess
to see
because you're in it. It's a mess.
And it all seems so serious when you're in it.
Yeah.
When I see people dating or like setting up their like Hinge profile, I'm like, why is serious event? Like,
oh, dating apps, we're going to go into all of that, I'm sure, because God, there's
so
much
to say.
But I think when people take dating seriously, like
it's hard not to be
friends with people, or I have been on the receiving end of this where someone has taken a first date more seriously than it is. And I think dating should be fun. It's like you've mistaken this for what it really isn't.
Yeah, it's not a game of survival.
Yeah.
It's a game of thrival.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
It's just like, okay, how much fun can I have?
Yeah.
Out of all of the humans that I've been placed on this earth with, which ones am I going to have the most fun with?
Yeah.
Who's going to get me? Not who's going to get me, like, who's going to get to keep me? Like, who's going to get me, like, connect
Understand.
On my level? Yeah, like, how are we going to see each other?
But also, it's like, stop dating for marriage. Did you see that tweet that was like, if you're not dating for marriage, you're dating for heartbreak?
Because it was over Austin Butler and Vanessa Hudgens breaking up.
Oh, really?
And they've been together, I think, 9 years or something.
Mm.
And someone was like, no, if we've been together 8 years and then you leave me, I'm going to say, where are you going? Like, where do you think you're going? Like, we spent our whole 20s together. Like, this is
it. You're a fucking idiot then.
Well, it's just like, why are you prioritizing a label over literally your happiness?
Yeah, you'd rather stay with someone because we've spent all this time together. Even though we don't match, we're not compatible.
Even though I hate your fucking guts.
We've spent all this time together now. Where are you going?
I'd rather not be alone.
Is there anywhere where you're not?
Anywhere but here.
Yeah.
Honestly, anywhere but here.
But that thing about like, if you're not dating for marriage, you're dating for heartbreak, is just something that is so twisted and disgusting.
Mm-hmm. It's also like, don't simplify human connection down to either heartbreak or success. Don't equate equate also marriage to success.
Yeah, marriage, what a man-made thing. My connection, my human romance and love and all this stuff cannot be put with marriage.
Like a physical document that you can end with like 50 quid and a signature.
Don't we know by now that marriage is bullshit?
Yeah.
It's very nice if you want to have a party, all of that stuff, but don't you fucking dare write my name on a piece of paper next to yours.
What, and call it a win?
Yeah, basically, in English lit, we did sort of lots of things. I did this module called Sense and Sexuality. It was
very good at uni,
and it was really, really good. And we're talking about how marriage was invented, and now it's like the symbol of love, as we know.
It's crazy.
And it started as it is a buying document.
It's for sale.
It's a receipt. The woman's name, the only two people that would sign the document is the groom and the father of the bride. The father of the bride. So it's literally like the woman's signature is not needed. The idea of being given away, you're literally, it's a receipt. A marriage certificate is a receipt, and I'm never, ever, ever being sold.
It's
bitch.
True. Well, even still up until the 90s, women had to use like their husband's name to get a credit card, or like you couldn't have property and things like that. It was very, very difficult to be seen as your own person, not just in life, in your day-to-day life, but in the eyes of the law.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the UK as well.
Well, there's that bit in The Handmaid's Tale, which it wasn't actually so much a thing in the series, but in the book it was a big thing. Before Gilead gets made for all the Handmaid's Tale fans. Oh, if you haven't seen The Handmaid's Tale, watch it now. But before Gilead like starts, all the women go to their normal jobs as usual, and they all say, oh, you've all been fired, and all of your money has been transferred into your husband or the nearest man in your family's bank account. You now have nothing. And it's like, that isn't far from what we had 100 that is exactly what we had 100 years ago.
I thought you were gonna say that isn't fun, and that isn't fun. I was gonna say, you know what, it isn't fun. That is not fun
guys. That isn't fun right now.
No, it's not fun.
But it wasn't fun for Offred.
No, yeah, exactly that. I was also just gonna say to you, quite funny that you used to, oh, I'm not gonna name it, but you used to work for a bridal company,
which I had a great time there. I used to do social media for this bride like wedding magazine.
So the things that you like about weddings are always quite funny.
Well, here's the thing,
that veil is so stunning. I thought you hated marriage.
Well, I don't hate marriage. Knowing the history of weddings, it's just not something I want to participate in.
I do think
personally.
Never say never, though. What if you had to do something, like, in order to, like, get your kid into school and it was easier?
Oh, well, that's fine.
Oh, yeah, well, there we go then. Do you know what I mean? Just very quickly, the never became, okay, well, in that scenario, you know, well, like,
no, but it's, I will never do it and romanticise it in that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm never having my dad walk me down an aisle.
Yeah, no.
Giving me away. That's never going to happen.
Definitely
I can
not.
Stamp that as...
It's never happening.
That's never happening, unless I have some kind of thing that goes wrong in my life.
Yeah.
And I end up doing it. So that's why I find it funny when... Yeah, God forbid.
I'm like tapping word.
God forbid.
God forbid she gets married.
But that's why I find it funny, the whole, if you're not dating for marriage, or kind of, oh, marriage is the most successful thing. Because I remember also saying to my friend, oh yeah, I don't want to get married. Mm. That's not a marker of success for me. Mm. It would be much more a marker of success just to be in a loving relationship for a long time. The marriage, the certificate is not something that I put any weight on. Yeah. I actually think that would take away from the thing for me.
Yeah, myself. It would. Although, complete respect to everyone who wants to get married.
Oh yeah, like, you do you.
Great.
You're the one being given away. You do what you want.
No, she doesn't mean that. Fuck.
If you wouldn't be your property, go ahead.
Couldn't be me.
I'm completely joking.
No, yeah.
Literally do whatever the fuck you want. I actually don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. It just couldn't be me. So I think...
Fucking hell. Just had to get that one last day.
But do what you want.
Yeah.
But that's why I find it funny, because I had one friend that was like to me, oh no, but you will get married. Don't worry about it. And it's like, no, I'm not getting it. He's like, no, you're not getting it.
I'm not worrying.
They almost think I'm saying, I will never be loved. I could never love a man.
I've accepted that I will never be loved by a man.
I'm a spinster, but it's actually like, no, you're not really getting it.
Yeah.
It's like, for some reason, people still have this idea of like, you get married at like 28 and then, oh, you're done for life. It's like, no, no, you could get divorced at 62, mate. Like, you don't realise, that's not sealed in.
Yeah.
You don't realise.
So death do us part really doesn't hit the way it used to.
Do you not know divorce, beheaded, died? Yeah. Divorce, beheaded, survived.
I think it's really, really interesting when people place a lot of emphasis on marriage rather than happiness.
Mm-hmm.
The two definitely will coincide, but also can be totally separate things.
Yeah.
In a lot more instances, I think, than maybe some people, like that friend, realise. Don't be naive to it.
Well, I think that's the thing. Why I think I have strong opinions on what I will do in terms of marriage is because after working at the wedding place, there'd be a lot of people messaging saying that their happily ever after is waiting, everything will kind of be fixed and things like that. Or like, if I just get this dress, I'll be happy. If I just get down to this size before my wedding, this will be, everything will be happy. Oh, I love my groom. I can't wait to spend forever with you. It's like, don't be so naive that you genuinely think, come on.
Well, it's a separate thing to say, I can't wait to spend forever with them, because fair enough, they might. I think that's not the issue. I think your issue is you're placing happiness on a dress, or you're placing happiness on a problem that you're throwing loads of money at.
Well, I think it's got an obsession with the outcome.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's an obsession with the outcome of, I'm going to spend forever with this person. I think that's quite crazy.
Yeah, but I could say to you, I am so excited to spend forever with Jack.
But
and what, then you're going to laugh me out of town? Like, what's the difference?
We don't know what's going to happen in anyone's life.
No, it's true. But if I said, I can't wait to spend forever with you doing Hire, this is so fun.
I could die tomorrow.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't mean I didn't mean it. Even if things did go south with me and Jack. No, but for example, like, even if whatever did happen, the way that you felt at that moment by saying, I can't wait to spend forever with you, is your genuine feeling at that moment. So to deny yourself that, you're already doing yourself the disservice. There's nothing
it's an
like
obsession with the not now. It's the obsession, an obsession with the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, so what we have right now is great, but I can't wait to spend forever. When we get married, we've signed this thing, we're forever, we're forever, we're forever.
And I've got my ring.
And it's like, guys, there's no guarantee to a forever.
Yeah, why don't you
there's
just no make sure that your today is good and then we can be all right?
I think that's it. It's like, there's no guarantee of a tomorrow even.
Yeah, there's no guarantee that any of us will make it to Valentine's Day to listen to this podcast.
Well, I mean,
the world is imminently combusting.
It's the happily ever after thing. I think it's absolutely fine to think, I want to be with this person forever. For as long as I'm here and as long as they're here, I want to be. That's a completely different thing.
Right.
That's a completely different thing. It's almost the, in the future, there is so much happiness for us.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
ooh. Why are you not making it happy now? Yeah. It's like, why are you, it's just placing emphasis on outcome.
It's just like, you've watched too much Disney.
It's this thing that we always go on about, always.
Yeah.
About the thing that you want, in quote marks, being just ever so slightly always out of reach.
Yeah.
And then even when you get it, you're looking at the next thing. And then when you get that, you're looking at the next thing. As soon as you're engaged, then you want to have a baby. Then when you have a baby, you want to get married. Then when you get married, you want to have another baby. Then when you've got your other baby, you want to move a house. Then when you move house, then you want to settle down. And then when you want to get a new job, and then you want to do this, and then you want to do that.
But realistically, and you're never right now, you literally are, you're all right, listening to a podcast right now. You're not, the world isn't burning down just right now in front
not.
Of you.
God, I hope not. That would be bizarre if you projected it.
Well, it just suddenly catches a blaze.
Oh, that would kind of creep me out if I was listening to a podcast and someone said, I hope the world doesn't set on fire just as you listen to this. And
but it's like, right now, life is fine.
Well, yeah, it's like you focus on outcomes all that time. Move this, do that, get this, buy that, see them, do this, have that. And you've blinked and you weren't enjoying any of it.
Yeah, but I think that's why marriage in particular stands out to me as, one, it's kind of making love something that I just don't like. I just don't like that image.
An institution of selling a woman.
Yeah, I just couldn't be me, as I've said.
Can't be involved.
But I also think there is, maybe it's the whole engaged stage. That's what I saw a lot of at this place.
Mm.
The engaged, the brides-to-be. Mm. And it was just, I mean, the aesthetic to start with is horrendous.
But also it's like, people throw a lot of money at this thing.
Oh, and also, I really want to be a bridesmaid. let me be your bridesmaid. I will cry at your wedding. Like, I kind of get a bit laughed out of town because when we watched, what's it called? Married at First Sight. And we
Yeah, you do love it. You do love a good wedding.
I think I love
But you
love.
Do have such strong opinions on marriage.
I think I have strong opinions on just like a lot of things.
Yeah, that's
and marriage
good.
Is just one of my things that I just kind of also I was never told it was a mark of success because my parents were together for like 18 years and never got married. They had three kids together. So it has never been a marker of your love because they loved each other more than the couples that were married and argued. Like it's just never been a marker of love.
Yeah, I agree. When I was younger, there was definitely not an importance on like getting married, and I would only ever get married if I wanted to get married, and my parents were married. I remember my friend, her parents were not married, and she would always talk about getting married because it seemed like such an amazing thing. I don't know if her mum maybe
seems like the full stop. I think that's where the naivety is.
It's just focusing on, it's just like something that you can't seem to achieve or just be like fully wanted by someone for life. There's so much of it, I think, as a pressure, obviously, on women.
Yeah.
But I also think it is a male thing of like, you kind of turn up at the family event alone and they're saying, oh, you're not going to propose to her anytime soon. And
God.
And all, it's definitely it's felt across the spectrum, I think, just for all young people. That's why I think dating is taken so seriously and why you're like on your Hinge profile thinking, oh, but that's a bit too cringe. That's a bit too much.
It's
got to
be
too...
a bit funny.
Yeah, but not too funny.
Yeah, can't be the comedian. Can't give them that expectation.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever the dating app is at the moment, of the moment.
Yeah. And even just in real life, the stress about the first date, it's like,
we didn't kiss though. What does it mean?
Yeah. It just means he's honestly not worth it.
It just means nothing. It just it's just so that.
It's kind of a big coincidence anyway that you've met and you're on this planet where phones have been invented and you can sit on your phone and scroll through people left or right deciding on if they're attractive enough for you and then sit opposite them in a bar and try and impress them for 2 hours and then go home and tell your friends all about it and then not know them in 4 months and be like, remember when we used to speak? Now I don't know anything that's going on with him. Now we're strangers.
Yeah. Oh my God, he just viewed my story. What does that mean? Nothing.
It means nothing.
Nothing, you fucking idiot.
We're all about to die.
We're literally, we're on a knife's edge.
We're on our deathbeds.
We're decaying. We know this. Yeah. And we love it.
Yeah.
We love it. Thank God we're already not dead.
Yeah. Well, that's true. It's like, if you're dying, you may as well just have fun.
Oh, yeah. So don't stress about one word in your Hinge profile.
No.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I think, there is a naivety about dating, though.
Mm. Okay, so we put on the story asking for questions about relationships, because also that's one that we get a lot when we ask for, like, recommendations or just what you guys want to hear from the podcast. Everyone is talking about, like, love, dating, relationships, sex, that kind of, like, advice and questions and stories. So I think we should move on to questions, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. Should I ask you the first one?
Yeah, go.
Do you believe in love at first sight?
I do believe in love at first sight because I have had people tell me they have been in love at first sight. And if you believe it, then who am I to take that away from you? So it hasn't happened to me, but that's just my story. What about you?
Yeah, kind of the same, I think.
I don't care enough to try and take that away from someone and be like, that doesn't exist. Like, I believe
that people have seen aliens. Why am I not going to believe that we've fallen in love with someone?
Literally that, yeah.
Like, what the hell?
I also think I think you as well will agree that it's not necessarily love at first sight, but it's like a buzz at first sight. Yeah, not
well,
even
I've had
lust.
That big time.
Yeah, it's like kind of the buzz of, I think this person is gonna be important in some way.
Absolutely.
You know, when you've got that little kind of,
I've had that, so
kind of a twinge of a feeling of something, like,
it's like, I'm gonna
you're
meet
gonna
you
come
again
up. Yes.
I'm gonna meet you again, and then lo and
this
behold,
isn't
I have
the
a
end of our story.
Yeah, that's something.
And that I think is quite magical.
Yeah, that sounds like stunning.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah. Next question.
Okay, love it. This is like my interview. I'm gonna answer and then we can discuss them.
Nope. what's one thing about love that scares you?
More so, I think the fact that someone has asked that question, I so think that is a thing of...
They're scared of the rejection.
Yeah, that. Or yeah. Just like, I think there's like a consensus that to be in love or to have love, there needs to be something scary about it, or like the vulnerable.
You have to be a bit out of your control.
Yeah.
You have to be a bit powerless to the whole thing. If you're trying to scheme the whole thing, I've struggled with that, of having
trying to choreograph.
Yeah, my Capricorn just jumps out and I want to choreograph the whole thing. They need to text me by this point.
You've written them a whole script.
Yeah, I've like created a whole character portfolio for them.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need to, what's the thing? Don't try and steer the river.
Yeah, you just need to go with the flow.
Yeah, you just need to, yeah, go with the flow. Much easier way of saying don't try and steer the river.
Yeah.
Very poetic.
No, it's true, right?
I've just looked at the next question. That's quite interested. Have either of you two ever been cheated on?
Okay, you go.
No.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've definitely...
Which is boring for both of us. Yeah. No, can't relate.
Well, it's actually really interesting because Cameron Diaz, not in my current relationship, I'll just spoiler, not in my current relationship. Cameron Diaz, just quickly.
Wait, you're in a relationship with Cameron Diaz?
Just going between my relationship with Cameron Diaz. Cameron Diaz said something about...
The most irrelevant name. Also, she's made really two random. Appearances on the podcast.
Really? What was the other
she
one?
She hasn't been a guest. We've spoken about her twice on the
podcast.
What was
the holiday?
No. Oh, God, she's made three.
Did we speak about the holiday or have I just made that up?
We spoke about the holiday and we also spoke about... I was talking about her being thin in the body image one.
Oh my God, how funny.
Yeah, random.
Okay, well anyway, Cameron Diaz speaks or said once on fucking Graham Norton. This is what I do. I just like...
Watch these videos.
Watch these fucking things. Anyway, she said that everyone has been cheated on in some capacity.
Yes.
And I get what she's saying because she, for example, between you and I, I could have this day with you and then let's flip it. Mm. We could have this day together and then you could go off and be with someone else and be like, God, Aaron was a bit annoying today. Okay, anyway.
I love how you flipped it because you didn't want me to think, oh God.
It's a bit too real if I say I've gone home and said to Jack was what I was going to say. And then it's a bit like, oh, I don't.
I know, I would know that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, it's not happening. Anyway, and I'm that's fine. Almost like, okay, micro cheating.
Yes.
And it's almost the betrayal.
Yeah, it's just, and I think everyone in their life can say they've been betrayed.
Yeah, in some way.
For sure, you can say that you have felt wronged in some way by someone.
Because like, no one's loyal to you like you are.
Like, even by a teacher marking your work.
Well, that kind of hits the hardest. Your favourite teacher kind of...
Marking you low.
Oh, and you go, I thought you were different.
Oh, I'm like, I thought you were clever. You're obviously dumb that you marked me so low.
Love it.
Oh, I thought I respected you, but
yeah,
no.
Oops, I don't. You don't just know... like the rest of them.
Just like the rest of them, you don't know a good thing when you have it in front of your face.
I think though, betrayal, obviously, universal feeling.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get over being cheated on?
I just don't know, because I'm not the right person to ask.
No, exactly. Just thought of something really crazy that I thought you would love. Maybe some of you listeners would love this too. I know someone who was in a relationship, went and had a tarot reading, and she thought, I know that this guy is cheating on me, I know he is. And in the tarot reading, it kind of came up that like there was something going on, kind of they weren't having the best time in their relationship. And she said to the reader, please, please tell me, please. She was, I'm begging you, please tell me if they...
I'm on my knees.
Yeah, honestly. Oh,
that's from Tracy Beaker. Louise, you're holding the keys. Louise, I'm down on my knees. Do you not remember that episode?
No, not at all.
I don't
know. Louise, I'm down on my knees. Give me the keys.
To my heart. I really hit that note. I like... I want to hear that back.
That's like ringtone.
Yeah, no, I've said it.
That's embarrassing. That's worst case scenario. That was a game we used to play. What was the most embarrassing ringtone that you
anyone
could
I
have?
Actually wanted to speak about this on the podcast. Me and Erin play a game, and our other friend as well play this game, where we try and think what would be the most embarrassing ringtone that could play like, out loud on your phone. And I think I got it.
Mm.
I think the most embarrassing thing would be, Mama do the heart, Mama do the heart. Because it's not relevant at all. But you such came up with game. A really funny
yeah,
one.
What was mine? I was thinking I came up with one. Like,
your one really gets me because it's something I would never think of. Your one is, do you want us to build a snowman? But the beginning, which is knock, 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 Elsa.
Ding, 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 ding. Do you want
but literally, snowman? Elsa. It's like a really...
In a seminar, that's bad.
That one is really bad. There are some really... like
it's kind of any song that's like just out of the charts.
I always also used to think...
Play the fiddle in an Irish band. Oh!
That's bad.
Go away, come. That is bad.
Yeah, that is really bad. I used to think, you get the moves like Jagger. Which would be hard. It's kind of that era of songs.
Like 2012?
Yeah, it's that era of those kind of songs.
Yeah.
The Mama Do the... I think Mama Do the Hump is the epitome of bad ringtone.
Fuck, we thought of another one, but I'm never going to remember it.
There are some bad ones.
There really are some bad ones, but what a hilarious...
Maybe DM us some of your bad... What would be the worst song to play as your ringtone?
Please.
Because honestly, it kills me. There's something funny about that.
That is really hilarious.
Because it's like, we all know that feeling of like, it's a bit bad.
It's also like, if your ringtone isn't marimba, like who what do you think marimba? You are to change it? It's like,
do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Even that, it's like, why is your phone not on vibrate?
I used to have a really funny ringtone. Mm. This was when I was really young. And I, you know when people used to Bluetooth yeah. each other's songs? I didn't have that. So I had to record it off YouTube.
Oh God.
How embarrassing, but I had The Man Who Can't Be Moved.
Oh, wow.
But like, it starts with like, I've been on the corner.
Yeah, yeah. Where I first met you. You.
Yeah. I kept in my sleeping bag. I'm not gonna move. Which is really bad.
And it's just
bad.
Playing for slightly too long.
Yeah, it's like, it's bad. So that was an embarrassing ringtone.
Okay, right. Anyway, she was at the Tara Reid's house.
Yes. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. You were in the end of the story.
No, I
start
that.
The moves.
How did you bring that up? I can't remember.
Yeah. Mama do the hand.
My God, awful. Yeah. At that point, it's like, I can't own up. I'm not answering the call.
Oh,
I'm kind of looking behind me as if to say,
Mama,
answer that phone.
Mama do the hump. Mama do the hump. It's bad.
So she said to the tarot card reader, should I just start from the beginning?
Yeah, go on.
Girl has a suspicion that her boyfriend is cheating on her. Girl goes to the tarot card reader just for a general reading, and basically it kind of comes up that like the relationship isn't going very well, whatever, which obviously would have been clear from the girl being like, I'm my boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she ends up begging the tarot card reader, like, please, can we look into this more? Like, how's an extra 10 quid? All right, whatever. The reader then was like, okay, yeah, fine, he cheated on you. On his holiday.
Fuck, I'm
the girl's got
thinking.
Brown hair, like blah blah blah, like she went for it. Listed all of these, like, she listed her. She did a character study on this girl.
Oh my God, she drew a caricature.
Yeah, fully, and brought it to the police and said, do you know this woman?
Fit.
Literally. Yeah. And basically, then it came out that the girl had cheated on her.
The guy had cheated on her.
Yeah, sorry. The guy had cheated on with that girl on holiday.
Oh my God.
Yeah, how insane. So then it made me think of her, because her way of getting over someone was always to just, like, find someone new.
That is such a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Tarzaning. I've heard that too.
Tarzaning. Oh, you're swinging.
Where you haven't let
the jungle.
Go. Yes, because it's like you haven't let go of the
Watch
last...
Watch out for that tree!
I actually never saw it. But it's like you haven't let go of the last vine before you're grabbing the next. Mm. It's like a constant... You're still holding on. You've got the next. You let go. It's like going from relationship to relationship. And you've almost got them lined up in advance.
Yeah, you can
see
them.
And I know a few people that do this. And I think it's a real sign of... low self-esteem.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Because everyone does that.
There's no empathy there as well, really.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, now everyone else is brought into that mess as well.
It's not,
It's a dangerous game. And I think it's one of those things that a lot of people know that they're doing it, but it's like a bit too difficult to stop.
And it also means...
It's kind of a tried and tested routine.
Yeah. But it means that the last few months of your relationship, you really just couldn't let go of them. It's like, rather than going, this isn't working, I'm breaking up with them, I'm being on my own until I find someone, it's like, I can't possibly let go. It's like got a desperation to it. Because it means that you didn't want to let go of what you had before you've got a new thing to like catch you.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It isn't good.
No.
Oh, it's quite horrible, really.
There's no empathy.
Really difficult. Especially if it's something like you've been cheated on. That's horrific.
Oh, well, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
Oh, that's a whole other podcast.
Kettle of fish?
Yeah.
I was going to say kettle of worms.
That's a whole other can of worms.
Can of worms and a
that we won't be opening
so
today.
So there's a kettle of fish and a
can
of worms.
Totally separated from one another.
Why
They've
are
never
they
met.
The kettle? And why are they the
a
can?
A kettle of fish. No, but I'm kind of thinking it's like a herd. Is that what it's called? A kettle of fish.
No, it's called a school of fish.
Yeah, but like different types of fish.
That's quite funny. Wait.
Yeah, different types of fish.
But obviously a
different
kind
of fish.
Let's Google.
A kettle of fish and see where that comes from. Like, kettle of fish origins.
No,
it's fully a kettle.
A kettle of fish, plurals, kettles of
fish.
Obviously. An awkward situation or a predicament. But come on, guys. Need the semiology.
What the hell? Why on earth would you have fish in a kettle? God, poor fish.
They're just classic kitchen equipment, apparently.
What, fish?
Oh, no, that's just, they're just defining a kettle.
It's just a standard bit of kit.
It's just a standard kit. kitchen thing, fish in a kettle. Oh, fuck it. No one fucking
knows.
No one
knows. That's the problem with these old things. Yeah, Google no one knows.
I can't be asked to scroll through Google.
That's kind of what I hate the most about sayings.
Yeah.
No one can agree on where they came from.
Well, I started to get quite obsessed in first year with the saying, to kill two birds with one stone.
Horrid.
Really horrid. But also an amazing saying. Oh, I'm just going to kill two birds with one stone. And I was like, okay, so it's pre-guns. When did this saying come from? And I was like really trying to get it back. This is just
weird, actually, how...
Yeah. It's like, so this is just on a Wednesday sort of afternoon.
And I think about the things that we come up with now, not just you and I, but just like our generation and like the words and phrases and like what's gonna stick.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, really weird.
There are loads of things like that that have stuck. Like the word meme was invented by Richard Dawkins and it means something that's passed on within a specific community.
The history of language is really like...
Oh, tell me about it.
A bit bizarre.
Insane. Because so much of what we say is not what we mean.
Yeah.
Also, like, the different language... This is why I really want to fucking learn a different language.
Mm.
I wish I'd stuck with French. Because it's, like, the meanings... The same object can have different words or signifiers.
Mm.
And the meaning just changes slightly every time. You're just missing so much. Like, in Japanese, there's one word that means the light reflecting... The moon...
You've told me this before. I love What's it. Your favourite?
The moonlight reflecting off the top of the water. There's one word. Mm. Like, what... How stunning is that word?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like too much for me to handle. I get shivers.
You should have done like linguistics.
Gotta do English and film though.
But maybe next time.
In my next life.
In your ongoing life that you have.
In my next life when I'm reincarnated.
In your nine lives.
I'll remember it for the next one.
Yeah, hold on to that. Oh my god, the craziest question.
Okay.
From, I think
she's... Oh, you're already recording.
Yeah, I'm recording it. I can't wait.
I was talking about Jamie Lannister.
I'm like, no, we need to... this question was just made for you and it's from this girl called Megan, who I'm pretty sure has followed us for a really long time. I'm sure she's called Megan, but hey.
Hi,
anyway.
Megan.
Hey Megan, thanks. Amazing question. She said, would you ever date a Tory? And I just thought that is made for you.
And the answer is N-O spells no.
Yeah.
I couldn't go there.
That is such a huge question because also I think what is really, really, really important and actually something that we talk about loads is the fact that at the end of the day, everyone has their core values.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have minor values that can be compromised.
Yeah.
But some of them are at your core. And fundamentally, if you've got two people whose core values very extremely oppose one another, in what world is that relationship going to work? So for you, where I think, and a lot of people, and me to some degree included, where, I mean, my political views are like everything. They're like the core of my being.
Well, it's just like what you believe is... Right.
Yeah.
How I believe the world should be is not the same as how you think the world should
be. Yeah. I think I would really, 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 really struggle because my thing with Tories, in quotes, is always like, I would love to have, and I like to have in my time, really good conversations where I can see, I can put out my perspective. They can come to my perspective and look at it and see that they're wrong. And then they can get educated and then we can both be on the same team.
But the crucial bit is they'll see they're wrong. But yeah. They don't.
No, well, sometimes they do.
I've had many conversations with many Tories and they don't seem
yeah,
to
but
be
what
shifting.
Are your conversations?
They're just fucking dumb.
Yeah, see, do you know what I mean? Whereas I'm really like, okay, well, I would like, I'm very like, I'm gonna play into exactly what you want to hear so that you're on my side already and be almost a bit cunning. It's like really actually manipulative what I do because I just see Tories as like, or just anyone who I think is maybe a bit more inherently right wing or just innately like bad.
Yeah.
You are a number waiting for me to tick you off and get you on the good side. Like, you're an opportunity for me. Any person
I
think
that
is like not doing well, not being led by compassion, which I think is the main thing as a human being in the world. If you want to function and you want this world to live on,
have fucking empathy.
Yeah, you need to be functioning primarily with compassion. So when I see people who aren't doing that, I'm like, okay, amazing. This is going to be a great opportunity to get someone on my team. And it has happened loads of times before.
It's great. You're really good at that.
I'm really like trying to fight the fight and like
I don't have the energy
big up my crowd.
I don't want to talk to you and I definitely don't want to date you.
Yeah, I'm not fucking you.
Oh, no way.
Imagine.
No way.
Imagine.
Oh my god, in your fucking dreams, mate.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
So I think, Megan, I think you're onto something there. It's a no.
It's an absolute, it's a no for me.
It's a no for me.
I'm out. Honestly, I'm definitely out. There's no way. your views, I can't actually understand your views. I cannot understand why you would put your tiny little bit of money that you have, or your lot of money that you have, over your human instincts to be kind. I can't see what happened to you in your life to make you do that, but it's not something I want to hear. Well, I don't want to hear your story.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of people just, we've all had propaganda in some way, and you know, some of us have gone one way and some of us have gone the other,
but I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, you don't have you to can go that's join... what's good about the world. That's the, yeah, that's the best
you
part.
Can go join the Tory convention, and you can go and join the Young Conservatives.
I'm gonna and be... you won't be seeing me there,
and I will be miles away from you, thank god.
Loved that. Just thought, I mean, it's actually like a bit of a meme within our community that you're so anti, like
anti-Tory,
which is a good brand.
Wait, it's a meme within what community?
Just like you and your friends.
I was gonna say within High Priestess. I was like,
and within High Priestess,
it definitely is a meme within life. Our friends that I am very anti-Tory,
because also it is that thing of like boundaries. You don't have to try and educate every person you fucking meet.
I think that's
you don't owe the world that.
Well, this is the thing, because I've always said this actually plays into this massively, and it is kind of love as well, that I would never date a Tory. And I've always said I would never be friends with a Tory. I just think that to me is a step too far. It's just
you're
like
so serious.
Oh no, I'm deadly serious.
I
it's
get
a step
you.
Too far for me to go.
It's just hilarious.
But well, I always thought that. But one of my best friends, I spoke to her recently. My childhood friend, who I love, told me that she voted Tory, and I was so gutted by it.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
shocked.
Spoiler alert: are you still friends with her today?
As I say, I was shocked, because it's like, that is not a relationship I'm willing to lose. So, oh, the things you do for love.
Yeah, honestly.
I can be. Turns out I can be friends with Tory.
Yeah, turns out I can compromise.
Because I know that she's inherently good.
That's what I mean. And everyone is an opportunity to see.
Oh, but I'm not trying to shift her. I'm just like, I can't talk to you about it.
Well, yeah.
Because I'll cry.
I also think part of the reason that I just think I love a debate. Like, I love that. I think it's just a personal, like,
you love it, yeah.
I love, like, the chat.
To get their answers.
Yeah.
But I kind of think I already know.
And I'm also curious to hear. Yeah, I'm really curious to hear, because people can have really good reasons as to why they believe anything in the world.
Well, you're 100% right. That's the way to go, guys. If you,
no,
you should definitely.
No, it's not. It's not.
It
you don't
you
give everyone
be...
an answer.
No, but you should be inquisitive.
Yeah,
you
that's
should,
true.
You should. Me and my friend got into this whole thing where we had a whole conversation about, would you have dinner with a terrorist?
Oh, yeah. Well, the end
and
answer is, yeah, of course
I
you
said
would.
Absolutely not. Like, and then we actually came around to, yeah, of course you should have dinner.
Yeah.
You should definitely ask them everything.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, if you're trying to improve the world, which I am,
you should find out the reasons. But
because unfortunately, eradicate the bad guys is not an option for me.
Also, it's not so polarized as good and bad. Tories aren't bad. Labour isn't good.
Definitely not. Yeah,
that is just a fact
and
of
that's
life.
Just
there
it.
Is no such thing as good and bad.
Everything's grey.
Everything is grey.
Well, there you go.
Everything
there you go, kids.
Gray.
There you go, Megan. Thanks.
So Sarah has asked a question, which I think is very funny.
Hey, Sarah.
We don't know
thank
Sarah,
you.
But she sent in a question. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So is the phrase making love a turn off or a turn on to you? Erin's covering her face.
Yeah, I am. Okay, just, yeah, it's a no.
It's a no from me.
It's not looking good, but what I was going to say to you is, if Jon Snow is saying to you, your ultimate guy,
oh my God,
is saying making love, in his kind of, just let that
simmer. Okay, let that
sink
in.
Yeah.
I think it's because we associate making love with a certain person. The person that says that isn't good.
The
like,
person who
not...
says that is turning up outside your house when you've had a shower and told them you
and he's
want
like,
to have
but
a break.
We made love.
Ugh.
Oh, it's so bad.
That is bad.
Would you rather say someone made love to you or fucked you?
Fucked you, 100%.
Yeah, same. Banged you?
Banged is bad.
Bang is bad. Okay, bang or make love?
Oh.
It's really difficult.
They're both too sincere in different ways.
Bang is
banged
like...
is like you're not old enough to be banging.
Bang is like you're high-fiving your mates. I banged her. Also, banged as a past tense should be almost bung. It's like, I don't
we
mean I'm banged.
Oh, I don't like
banged
it.
Banged doesn't really like have
no,
a flow to
I
it.
No, I don't like it at all. I think it's difficult. We don't really have a lot of, we don't have a really a plethora of words to choose from. Do you know what I mean? We're quite limited in our vocabulary when it comes to like relationships
anyway.
I think
go clinical. Had sex.
Sex. Sexual intercourse.
Call it what it fucking is.
Yeah. Be
sex.
As graphic as possible.
Tell me the details.
No, fully.
Yeah, fully.
I want the ins and outs.
Oh.
And the ins and outs of the ins and outs.
It's horrible. It's really gross.
That's bad.
That can't go.
Yeah, you have to put that in as part of it.
That's horrible. So I love this question. Mm-hmm. It says, soulmates, do you believe in them?
Yeah, I do. Do you? Okay, should I explain my point?
Yeah.
Soulmates, I think me and you are soulmates.
Agreed. I remember you said that once, and we were in quite a big crowd of people, and you said, because I think I asked you before, do you believe in soulmates?
Typical, you'd ask me that in a big crowd as well.
Do you believe in soulmates? And you said, well, I think me and you are soulmates. And I was quite taken aback by it. And it took me a minute to say, why, yes. Yes, we are. We kind of had a circle of people around us. Well, we had people over. We were doing a tarot reading on them, and we made it quite a romantic moment.
We just made it about us.
And there were about six people in the room, and I threw across the room, do you believe in soulmates, Erin?
I said, yeah, like me and you. For example, me and you, I think me and Jack are soulmates. I think me and a lot of my friends are soulmates. I think me and my nan are soulmates.
I'm loving it.
And I think soulmates is, we connect on a soul level. I would have found you in any lifetime.
That I would have agreed with you a week ago.
Oh.
I would have completely agreed with you 1 week ago.
God, what happened?
Flashback.
You told me.
I have. Flashback. I met my soulmate. No, I'm joking. I had a conversation with my flatmate who did evolutionary anthropology. We didn't speak about soulmates in any way. I was just running a little thing in the back of my head.
Mm.
And she basically told me all about the history of human evolution, which I was shocked at how ignorant I was.
Oh, it made you go to the Natural History Museum.
Yeah, I went straight down to the Natural History Museum the following day to look at the history of
human
evolution. Yeah. I was shocked. We were going into human, sort of, what they called, Homo erectus, Heidelbergensis, Neanderthals, up to
You definitely should read that book.
Sapiens.
Yeah.
100% I'm reading it. I was hooked. And I was thinking, I don't know if I can get to the point of soulmates.
Mm.
During my time at the Natural History Museum in that day, I was looking at the dinosaurs. I was looking at everything that had happened, the evolution
of bones.
The earth. Pangaea. Yeah, Pangaea. The world is a crazy place. It's
this is new news for you.
Well, I knew all this info, but I hadn't thought about it. I'd been talking about, oh yeah, soulmates, blah, 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 blah. Like, toxic relationship. I've been going through all those stuff.
Yeah.
And I haven't looked at the scope of what we exist in. And even that could be a simulation. We'd have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
So I was looking at dinosaurs. They existed for...
Sorry, you've got a bit crazy, actually. Your eyes are a bit like...
It's because...
You're a bit crazy.
I couldn't believe what my eyes
hearing,
and my ears. I couldn't believe what I was learning. And I've related this. This poor girl wrote in about soulmates. I'm going back to dinosaur times. Talk about Pangaea. So the dinosaurs were around for just bear with me for this.
Fucking hell. God.
The dinosaurs were around for 50 million years before they were wiped out. Hey, this is Persephone. I'm just jumping in whilst I'm editing this because, and I know nobody gives a shit about the dinosaurs, but I've just realised a crucial error that that I said they were around for 50 million years. They were here for 150 million years. So let that sink in. We have only been around as ourselves for like 20,000 years. Not a long time.
No.
Do I believe that dinosaurs had soulmates? If anything, this is their earth. They were here for a lot longer than us.
And before us.
Yeah.
Classic us stealing what isn't ours.
And we've been here for literally a tiny little tick in the time of that they owned this planet, essentially. There has been crazy fucking shit going on here, guys.
She's not fucking around. Yeah, okay.
There has been nuts shit going on, guys. You wouldn't believe.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You wouldn't believe if you see a pterodactyl. Or even like a Neanderthal woman. Do I believe she has a soulmate? I don't know. I don't know if I believe that pterodactyls have soulmates, that guinea pigs now have soulmates, that crocodiles have soulmates.
But you believe in like aliens and ghosts.
Well, there's crazy shit going on.
Right, but that's my thing is like, yeah, I get we're from everything, whatever. Mm. But I think fundamentally there is something spiritual about the world and the earth.
Oh, well, you know, I agree.
Yeah,
but
I was a bit science.
Yeah, did send sounds me a bit bananas.
Honestly, I don't believe in science.
Here's where we're going to get into some problems.
I need it to be a bit more romantic.
Yeah, but it's not really about what you need. It's
a case of fact or fiction.
It's like, without science, we would be dead. But I also have this conversation with my dad a lot about science because I am an atheist.
Yeah, I reject science.
No, I don't.
I'm just coming back in.
But he says, science obviously has given us everything, but it cannot even explain the one something that it is.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I'm also having this conversation with my other flatmate, Jack. Second appearance on the podcast.
Fucking hell.
Jack.
Love it.
And he was saying about how he studies physics and it kind of bothers him that, so we're studying physics, science, and even numbers are made up. They're man-made.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait. This is the laws of our existence, but it can't explain what we are.
Yeah, we can never get beyond the scope of our own comprehension.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's fun. Yeah. It's all through a human lens. It's all anecdotal.
Well, exactly. And that's why the only thing that I know to be real in life is love and human connection. Mm. Remember I said that to you when we were in Lewis, we were by a pond.
We were in a romantic moment. We sat by a pond and Erin said... Deadly silent.
And I said, love is the only thing that is real in the world.
And I nodded my head and said, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. It's the only... Well,
it's the only... I just think it's the only universal thing that really means anything. Love. Love. What's worth living if it's not with love?
I love you. Love.
Yeah, it's true. So that's why I think... And I just know it.
It's
sometimes
got a bit romantic for my
liking.
No,
but it's true. It's the V-Day app. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes you meet someone and you know your souls have clicked on a different level.
I get it. Oh no,
and
I've experienced this many times, and as I say, I would agree with you if I hadn't gone that week ago and seen the dinosaurs.
Yeah, but what turned you off with
basically how am I relating
then?
Soulmates to dinosaurs?
Yeah.
But in my mind I was thinking, we've created this notion of, so at uni I did a lot of stuff on like romance and love and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Sex, a lot of stuff on this stuff. A lot of books, a lot of films.
Yeah.
That's what I studied. And there's this whole idea that men and women, mankind, invented the concept of love.
Mm-hmm.
There's no love with any other species.
There
would be maternal love, there would be parental love.
Yeah.
I don't
You're
think...
You're talking about romantic.
Well, I'm going to get onto this. There's four types of love.
Yeah, okay. We're going philosophy. We're going
philosophy. There are four types of love. There is no romantic love between any other species that we can identify.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very man-made thing, and with the idea of romance, who's to say that really exists? We're so far into our society now that it's almost, you can't really tell what's in your biology and what's in your, it's nature versus nurture.
Yeah, I mean, it's very Descartes, like, I think, therefore I am. Like,
yes.
I have these feelings, therefore what are they? Like, who am I? How is this, any of this real? But I think the bigger point is, why do we question it so much, though?
Because we have to question everything.
But love is like, why are we scared of it?
Oh, no.
Why, do you know what I mean? Like,
throw
love...
me head first.
Yeah.
No, I'm not scared of it.
No, but like, those things of like, oh, love, you know, it's so dangerous, it's so this, it's so that, and you have this and have that.
Do I like him?
I think people are.
Oh, no, people are scared, but I don't think the philosophy angle is in any way rooted in fear. What is this?
Yeah, it's trying to explain. Yeah, I completely agree. But I think the fact that our generation now
is terrified,
look towards like antiquity to explain these like phenomenons that have taken over the world generations before our existence is because you feel rejected by that guy who didn't message you back on Tinder and you thought you were going on a date and you got all ready and he never messaged you back. Like,
we've been there.
It's all of these different situations make you turn to any explanation of the things that you are feeling and the things that you imagine others to feel.
Love it.
When in actuality, I just think, feel what you're feeling. Don't have fun with the dating thing and
that's
literally see what
it's
happens.
Fun. That's the thing.
Because it's the love at first sight thing of like, well, I'm not going to take that away from you.
No.
It's not my feeling.
Never, never, never.
Yeah.
But I do think before we all start making these sort of statements of like, here's a soulmate, I'm a Capricorn. Trust me, I'm the queen of making these statements.
Yeah.
But go and see the dinosaurs and you will see that we're here for a blink.
Yeah.
We're here for a blink.
I agree, but
so
that's why I think love is everything.
I don't think love was around with the dinosaurs.
No, but I think the fact that they exist is love.
How? They were on the right conditions.
Well, that's
right
it. And I think that right condition is love. It's that old, I don't know if it's not Aquinas. I don't know who this thing is. Remember I told you about the pocket watch and the sand?
I love this, yeah.
Of like, what the chances that everything is going to, you're walking along in the sand and there's nothing, the mirage, nothing's real, you're going to starve, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Walking, you stumble on a pocket watch. Everything works perfectly together and it's still ticking away. All of the cogs have come together, all of the circumstances, it hasn't been destroyed, it's just working perfectly. You wouldn't look at the pocket watch and say that got here by accident, it's coincidence. I think the fact that there have been dinosaurs here for so many years and now we get to be here and interact with one another on ways and levels that we never have before, that is pure love. Like, that is crazy. And I just
don't think it is.
Love is the universal like bonding thing. Like, all anyone ever wants is to feel validated and accepted. All of these podcasts revolve around a feeling of love, either within yourself or looking for it in others. I think everything fundamentally comes down to The way that you live is how loved you are. Have you been fed? That was through love. Have you got a roof over your head? Okay, that was through love.
I don't know.
And I do believe in soulmates.
Well,
and I've studied history. Like, I've studied history and anthropology. Like, yeah. I get the reality of why we're here. But I think ultimately, also, I think it's a dangerous game to, like, assert that there is no meaning beyond anything. I think if
I fucking hate that. I think if we reject
love, you encourage a discourse that is quite destructive.
I think that you cannot say there is no meaning and you cannot say there is a meaning. The one thing...
I think you can say there is a meaning, because if you have a meaning, then there is a meaning.
Yeah, but it's not your meaning. It's like a human lens. It's kind of... The one thing we can all agree on is this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
This is crazy what we're in.
Yeah.
Who knows what the fuck it is? Some of the smartest people in the world say it's a simulation. Some of the smartest people in the world say there's a God. Some of the smartest people in the world say we're literally gonna die and I'm more inclined towards them, but we can all agree this is fucking weird.
Yeah.
And we don't know why we're here.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I can say this is because of love, this is because of science, this is because of anything. All I know is there were fucking dinosaurs walking around. They were killed by a meteor and now we drive cars and have phones. What the fuck?
What happened?
What the fuck happened? And I don't even know if I need an answer.
But I also think there's different timelines operating at the same, you know, where your soulmates could be and things like that. Like, I know you believe in soulmates.
Well, this is the thing. I don't know. I don't know what I believe in.
I think you're on a science hype. Like, you're on like a health kick.
I'm on a dinosaur.
Like, you're on a rationale.
You know when you get that bit when you're obsessed with a dinosaur? Yeah. You know that feeling? You know that feeling when you're obsessed with dinosaurs?
It's so relatable.
It's relatable content, guys. But, I mean, do go and see some skeletons.
I just think you know that, like, that feeling of when you are connecting with someone.
Oh, look, you know, I know, you know that.
Not you, though. I think, like, everyone.
But that is...
Everyone, surely, I think, has had that moment where you think, okay, I'm, like...
Yeah, but I don't know what that is. I don't know if I agree with...
I'm calling it soulmates, because...
Yeah, I like it.
The idea of soulmates is just as old as ideas about, like, Eros and all these different types of love. Like, I'm just as inclined to believe, like, an old tribe from Papua New Guinea as I am to believe Plato.
Philosophers today.
Yeah, we are.
So thank you so much for listening.
This, if you've listened to this,
God,
you're in. You're in the gang.
You're a priestess.
I'm fully
priestess.
There's like no questioning it. They're like, no, please don't give me that title. Anything but priestess. No, you are. Whether you like it or not.
You are to me. You are to Erin.
Yeah.
You are to both.
Forever. For life.
Yeah. Obsessed.
I would have found you in any lifetime.
But the dinosaurs. So thank you so much, guys. Leave us a rating and a review. I hope you've loved this bonus episode.
Yeah. God, how lucky you are.
Lucky, lucky girls.
You lucky, lucky thing. Right, well, thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.